Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to summer worship here at Faith. And boy, good to see everybody here. It's a good little crowd we've got here tonight. Thank you for joining us. Worship in so many ways now is going to be changing for us here in the next several months. And we're gonna start something tonight, and then we're going to have to put it on hold for a week here. But so I want to make sure that we have as little confusion as possible. And I didn't see a good way to really get this passed on until we actually got to this moment that we're in now. So first thing I want to talk about is communion, because now we only have one service on Sunday. But what we're going to do with communion, and there's more than a few people, I understand there was enough confusion there to fill a political hall, but regarding communion, we are going to stay with the schedule of doing communion on Sunday, first and third. First and third Sundays of each month, with the one service at 10 o'clock, we'll celebrate Holy Communion. Those weekends, which would be basically the weekends of the second and fourth Sundays, are the weekends that we'll do communion on Saturday night. So next weekend, and then the weekend of the fourth Sunday of the month. Now, it might be easier to say, well, why don't you just say second and fourth Saturdays? Well, on the calendar, it doesn't always work that way. It does in June, it does in August, it does in September, but it doesn't in July. And that's why I want to create as little confusion as possible. So what you remember is we have communion the first and third Sundays of each month at 10 o'clock. And then the second and fourth Sundays, those weekends, is when we'll have communion on Saturday night. So again, nothing tonight, but next weekend and then 2 weeks after that is when we'll have our communion service. So I think at least a few of you came tonight prepared for that, and I apologize for that, but that's the best we can do for that. In a few moments, we're also going to be starting every service, communion or not, with a hymn sing, moving almost all the hymns of the service up into the hymn sing. And part of what we've done for that in your bulletin is hymns I would like to see us sing this summer. Now, I know for a fact a lot of you filled these out. I was sorting through a whole bunch of these all week long, putting down every single thing that you sent to me. But we've got it in the bulletin this week and next week. If you have not yet filled one of these out, I do want to hear from you. I'm going to start informing you of all of the different hymns and the ones that got multiple votes and all that sort of stuff. So whatever it is, and by the way, one of the hymns that was requested is one of our opening hymns tonight. So we're off on a good step, and most of the hymns we're going to be singing in our hymn sing are going to be requests that have come from you. It does say, please include the hymn number, but if it is a hymn that's not in our hymnal, just write it down. I mean, everything that has been sent to me, whether it's in our hymnal or not, I have written down, because we have sources to get to every bit of that then. So here I am trying to tell you how our services are going to be, and that will be the case throughout the summer, the months of June, July, August, and September, but not next Sunday. Next Sunday, our Faith Factor, most of them are here with us tonight, actually, but our Faith Factor next weekend are going to be going through, we're going to be doing a service that is going to be very much a big part of what they're going to be doing for the worship service at the Florida Georgia District Convention, which is in 3 weeks, including all the songs that they're going to be singing and performing. Now, most of them are going to be familiar to you, but they felt the need that they needed to do, we'll call it a dry run, a dress rehearsal, if you will. And so we're going to have a special service next week that's going to be focused on the message and the songs of convention for the Florida Georgia District. Because then the weekend that takes place, Pastor Roger Keller, who's filled in for me a few times, he's going to be here to lead worship. He will be back from St. Louis by that time, just in time for me to fly up to St. Louis. I'm going to be preaching in an installation that weekend. But I don't want to get us too far ahead of ourselves, so that just so you'll know, next Sunday, it's going to be a Faith Factor Sunday. We haven't had one of those in a long time, but there will be more of those once we get to fall. Okay, Also regarding Sunday morning, do remember the new schedule. Sunday school and Bible class at 9 o'clock. Bible class here in the sanctuary. Sunday school back in the music choir room here in the church, not in the CLC. 9 o'clock. And then worship will start just like it's doing here tonight with a hymn sing. That'll start at 10 o'clock, again, through the months of June, July, August, and September. I've been asked to announce that for our youth, the National Youth Gathering meeting, a big meeting that is about 13 months ahead of the National Gathering, is being held next Sunday. Yes, over a year in advance, but a lot of work will need to be done. And by sometime late this fall, everybody's going to be registering for the National Youth Gathering. So we kind of need to have everybody there and everybody on board with that. And as a congregation, we're going to be kind of walking that journey with them, both supporting them and also helping in whatever ways that we can. For the gathering that is being held in Minneapolis, 2 weeks before the national convention of our church body comes down to Tampa. So next summer is going to be a really exciting summer, but we'll try to get through this summer first. I regret that by now I think almost all of you know that the Lord has called home Mary Oles at the age of 92. And I'm sorry to report that because of the health of Jeff and Deb and needing to get some details wrapped up in Asheville, North Carolina, arrangements are still pending. We don't have anything we can share with you tonight about a memorial service. If somebody were to ask me, what are we looking at? I'm thinking two weeks from today in the morning. 2 weeks from here on Saturday, a Saturday morning memorial service. One of the things we're trying to work through, I think at least a few of you know that Pastor and Frieda Steinke are out of the country right now. Both of those people meant an awful lot to Mary and vice versa. And so I'm working with the family so that hopefully we can do that after the Steinkes return. And they'll be back in 2 weeks. So but as soon as I've got some information, I will share it with each of you. We've also been asked, the husband of Kathy Hoback, name is Joseph, he also has been granted eternal life, and arrangements are pending right now, and that was not a misprint. Arrangements are pending at Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. So once we get some more information on that, we will also share that with you. So I'll have a prayer request that I'll share a little bit later on. Gary Weiss has been released from the hospital. And friends, for the next 4 months, that's how worship is going to begin, with some of our songs. And now most of the rest of the service, with the exception of an offertory and communion hymns, will be without music. So our order of worship tonight is a service of prayer and preaching. As you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Beloved of God, let us confess together that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that daily we have sinned against our gracious God and deserve his punishment now and eternally. We begin with a moment of silence. Almighty God, you who are gracious and merciful, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have turned away from abiding in your love. We have sought our own ways and have not always kept the Sabbath in ways that honor you. We have transgressed your law in our thoughts, words, and deeds. We repent of our sins and seek your mercy. Be gracious to us, and for the sake of Jesus, grant us your forgiveness, so that, as your redeemed people, we find the joy of absolution and with renewed hearts serve you in time and in eternity. Our gracious God hears you and loves you. He has promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and turn to him, trusting his mercy and grace. May he keep you steadfast in the Holy Spirit, lead you to greater faith and growing obedience, and finally bring you to live with him forever. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll tell you what we'll do here. Since we are already standing, let's go ahead and go to the salutation and collect of the day, and then we'll do the greeting of the peace, and then everybody can be seated for the scripture lesson. So let's continue with that. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Eternal God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is our Sabbath rest. Help us to keep each day holy by receiving his word of comfort, that we may find our rest in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the second Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, the Sabbath day observance. Moses speaks, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We receive the blessings of God in our mortal bodies, vessels of clay. St. Paul writes, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second and third chapters. Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Again, He entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them in anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your word dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your word dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your word dwells.
We speak together the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You may be seated.
Well, friends, there was a group of research specialists who apparently went through several of the Florida parks, including Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, and, of course, Disney, and had a basic question for the people that wanted to answer the question. And it might seem like a really strange or obvious question. What are you doing here? It was not asked in an accusatory way. It was like, okay, why are you here? Now, if you're asked a question like that and you're at one of those places, and I know we have at least a few of you that go to those places, maybe a couple of you just got back from places like that. And if somebody comes up to you and asks, "Well, what are you, you know, why are you here? What is it that has brought you here?" What are you going to say to them? You probably are not going to say the reason these people are there. "I'm here to do research. I'm here to study." There might be a few people that are in the park that are employees or those that fix and do maintenance so that the things that we go to the park for are working properly, but those are people we rarely, if ever, see. No. Why do you go to those places? Most of the participants answered one of three things, and they're kind of all related. Number one, to have fun. Now, More of the people that said that were the types that were just going over there from Florida. It's a pretty amazing. We Floridians have got much easier access to these things. We probably don't go like we should, but we still do. The ones that were out of state made this comment. "I or we are on vacation." This isn't as hard as you thought it was. We're on vacation. And we're here to have fun. Now, there was a third response, and that was mostly came from parents and people that were trying to keep a semblance of order to everything. It was the way that these Florida days are, where it's really hot, and all of a sudden it comes pouring down rain, and just the things that you would hope the Florida vacation would be, it's turning out to be anything but. They would ask those parents, "What are you doing here?" And the third most popular answer, "I'm not really sure." It's what they would say. But
for the most part, the people that are there on vacation to have fun, if you're really trying to sort out what they're there for, this is their way of, because a lot of them will take time off from work. Some of them during the school year will take time off from school. And what is it that they are looking for? They are looking for some kind of, the answer is rest. And look at the title of my message. That's rest? Going around on roller coasters that are going 70 miles an hour, turning it upside down 15 times, standing in the heat all day long, that's rest? But in a lot of our people that do these things, when they take vacation time, when they come back from all the things that they had planned on doing, half the time they're more tired when they get back than they were when they left. Then there are some of those other times when it is time to get away. You know, there's that story where Jesus had done so many things. He and his disciples didn't even have a chance to eat. They were so busy. And Jesus got the disciples into a boat and said, let's go someplace private. Let's go to someplace right now where we can just be by ourselves. And what happened? Crowd saw where they were going and were there ahead of them. And Jesus felt sorry for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But that meant that Jesus got no rest. Well, my friends, we live in a day and an age now where it has taken us the better part of all these 2,000 years to try to sort out what those words, remember the Sabbath day, is all about. And even though Jesus laid it out for us pretty clearly, what it is that's expected, and at some point, theologians have sat down and have discovered that the whole point of the Sabbath day, even as God created it, was something that was going to look forward to the coming of a Savior who was the true and final Sabbath rest. So that day is now not just about a bunch of laws that were enacted on behalf of God's chosen people in the Old Testament. It's about a Savior who gave up his life for us. Now that's not a Sunday thing. That's not a Saturday thing, because the calendars, as they're passed out to us, a few of them are now, they're changing a little bit so that they can put the work week far to the left, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then squeeze in just a little space for Saturday and Sunday. But most of the calendars that we receive, farthest to the left is Sunday. And then the seventh day, day seven, the day of what was called in Hebrew Shabbat, that day over there was Saturday. So the original Sabbath rest was Saturday. But once we get here into the New Testament, what people have tried to, shall we say, interpret what the Sabbath is supposed to be now is curious. I grew up in the Midwest where there wasn't a lot of cognizance about the stuff that was going on. But then my parents moved to El Paso, Texas. And I got introduced to something I had never seen before. Something that there's less of it now in Texas than there used to be, but it's still there. These famous things that come into place on Sunday that are called, anybody know what they're called? Blue laws. And the storekeepers, no matter what the store is, and no matter how the store might be arranged in other states, in states with blue laws basically means that there are certain things that you are forbidden from buying because it is supposedly a day of rest. And they're doing it on Sunday, which never was the day of rest, but that's what they do. So now they set it up where they've got these little gates or whatever that they put around these aisles, and they set it up where an aisle is either stuff that's part of the blue laws and you can't buy it on Sunday, or they're aisles of stuff that you can buy. And so they just gate off all of those aisles of stuff that you can't buy on Sunday. And I'm sitting here, I kind of put that through a test once where I'm like, so you can't buy, it was interesting the things you could and could not buy. For a guy like me, who didn't grow up with stuff like that, it made no sense. Well, I guess what we do for rest, what we call rest, makes no sense either. But I guess that's not so unusual, because the one thing that, as I mentioned a few moments ago, we know about was the true Sabbath rest was someone that they didn't understand either. Jesus' enemies couldn't wait. And one of their the things that annoyed them the most, the things that they would meet together, we have to destroy this imposter because he does not do what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath. As far as many of the Jews were concerned that hated Jesus, this business about the Sabbath is what disqualified him. And yet Jesus made it clear, I am Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, rest is always going to take interesting forms. Just last night, I actually received a telephone call later than I usually do, and for once it wasn't an emergency. It was my twin brother who had just left our 40th anniversary high school class reunion. He could get there, I couldn't. I just got too much going on through the summer and the fall, so he went on behalf of both of us. So you can, if you don't know how old I am, just do the math. We graduated 40 years ago. The actual date was May 18th, 1978, and here we are 40 years later. And then he started sending me pictures. Okay, do you remember, can you identify this person? And he sent me 12 pictures of classmates, and I got a perfect score. I got all 12 of them wrong. Because, I'm sorry, we're getting old now. We just don't look the way that we did in high school. None of us do. But one of the things that, as they started kind of getting comfortable with each other, they would talk about some of the experiences that they had in high school. And they were recalling to him that, he said, one of the things that they remembered about us, not only that we were twins, but also that they would hear about stories every time we tried to do something like going camping. Now, for those of you that love going camping, I'm not down on any of you. You want to have your fun going camping? Fine. But every time we tried to go camping, it was a disaster. And they remember that about it. Of all the things to remember about, first of all, we were twins, and then right after high school, we left, and for the most part, we had never been back. My brother had not been really in that town that we graduated from. He hadn't been there at all since about 2 years after graduation. Quite remarkable, considering that most of the high school students did stay in the area. I'd say 3/4 of the class didn't even leave the state. And so, in the midst of some things that we would try to do for rest, that never went well. The one thing that does go well is when we place our hearts and our lives, our very souls, into the person who is the true Sabbath rest, Jesus. You know, one day we are going to be received into a time of what truly is called eternal rest. One of our members, in fact, with a couple of our members, are dealing through those issues now, this past week, where now they are being given an eternal rest in him who is the true Sabbath rest, Jesus Christ. And it's not a disaster. It is the most amazing thing in the world. And you might still look at the commandment, well, what does remember the Sabbath day have to do with just that we worship Jesus? Very simply, Martin Luther got it when he said on this, we should fear and love God so that we do not despise the preaching of his word, but hold it sacred, gladly hear and learn it. That's what the Sabbath rest is all about, taking the time to learn about, to love Jesus, to celebrate Jesus, to spend some time in prayer. And That doesn't have to be a Saturday night thing. That doesn't have to be a Sunday morning thing. That's what our lives are supposed to be. The time that we spend in Jesus, no matter what we're doing with him, beginning our service with songs of praise, taking some special opportunities in times of trouble to seek him out and to ask for prayers. All of that, my friends, is living a life of a Sabbath rest in Jesus. It doesn't change what we wish to do with our vacation time, with our fun time, and with the things that we try to do that maybe went well and maybe didn't go so well. But in Jesus, there's very little that can't go well. He is the one that has already won for us our salvation. He was willing to let everything go very, very, very badly, at least on appearance of things, when he gave up his life on the cross. But then when he rose from the dead, he defeated death, and from that point on, now we have a new purpose. And all of a sudden, you know, this whole business of the Sabbath may have gone away, but the need to worship Jesus never stopped. And that's why early Christians, even though there were some that, yes, had actually just stopped going to any kind, they had stopped doing anything regarding worship, early Christians knew they had to do something. And so they set aside this other special day, the first day of God's creation, the day when Jesus rose from the dead, the day we call Sunday. And on that day, as Jesus rose from the dead, now we celebrate with an everlasting Easter. But again, Easter doesn't have to be on a Sunday. We can, as we ignore what states have tried to do with things like blue laws and trying to close different establishments on Sundays, we celebrate by worshiping Jesus, by admitting that we need him for the things of life. You know, they talk about people who are struggling, people who don't know about the road to salvation, as people who are restless. And our entire life in this world is almost one of restlessness in the midst of the heart of sin, in the midst of the heart of a fallen world that brings so many things that we could not have possibly prepared ourselves for. And the only time we're ever going to find true rest is in Jesus. Oh, we may find some things that will give us some joy, give us some happiness, give us some excitement for a little while. But just as for those of you that have gone to Disney, you weren't there long and then you had to leave. For those who went on vacation, I used to take my vacations right before the beginning of the next school year. Typically, I would do them in mid-August. As the school year kept moving earlier and earlier in August, I had to push that forward, but it would never fail. We'd get back from vacation and then bang, here comes the school year and all the realities of it. And like a week into the school year, you felt like your vacation had been left behind you about 3 months back. It's long, long, long forgotten, and the reality of life is there. Well, we are never going to be able to find true rest in this world. We can sleep, but still find that our lives are full of sleeplessness. We can try to rest doing things of this world, but we find an utter restlessness. The only place that we're going to find where true joys are to be found is in our Savior. He was the one who said that we are not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made for us. And that's why now he is Lord even of the Sabbath. So let's spend our days, our weekends, our vacations, our fun times, our times that are not going so well, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to Jesus, who is our true Sabbath rest. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let's receive our offerings. We want to remember in our prayers for this morning for this evening, William Handel, for strength as he undergoes cancer treatments. And also, as we remember all of God's people that have been going through, a special prayer has been requested on an individual by the name of Jeff Knutson, who is hospitalized in Illinois, apparently far from home, with a special malady that they are not able to get to the bottom of, and he's in intensive care in a hospital in Rock Island, Illinois. So we will add that to our prayers. Friends, in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For guests in worship tonight, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss and the dying in their last days, Lord, we give our prayers this evening on behalf of the family of Mary Oles, on behalf of the family of Joseph Hoback, including our member Kathy, on behalf of William Handel during this time of strength for him, on behalf of Jeff Knutson and the members of his family, and now those we name before the Lord in our hearts in a moment of silence, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ, crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude towards the bottom of page 9, our closing collect, and we do the one for 5 p.m., which is the evening prayer. We pray together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Well, there you have it, folks. Summer gives us a chance to do something different. Indeed, this is basically what we're going to be doing over the summer. Again, now here in the month of June, communion on Saturday night, next Saturday, and then 2 weeks after that, the last weekend of the month. So go in peace and serve the Lord.